free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to Free Energy Now. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you'll see a link to where you can do some call-ins if you are listening live. And if you're not listening live, you can see our past and future lineup of speakers, download some past archives, and go to some of our website links. Today we have a special. Today is April 30th, 2008. I've been talking with David Bowling earlier today. He sent me an email saying he has a widget that he pulled together a couple of weeks ago that is putting out all kinds of extra energy than what is going on in the front end. As we were chatting along, I thought, you know, it'd be fun to have a few other people listening in on this conversation, asking some questions if they are listening live, and having the interview available for access later. David, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, not a problem.
So you and a friend were tinkering around with some designs, and you switched some wires around, and all of a sudden you had what?
Well, what we really did is I'd been reading some of the stuff from Tesla and Bendini and Bearden and pretty much everybody on the web that's putting out stuff on free energy and alternate sources of energy and building devices, and I built two or three myself. I haven't really been able to get anything to produce the way I wanted it to, and I came up with a circuit. I actually tried it. Probably 3-4 months ago, I hooked it up with some car batteries and some stuff I had at the house and turned it on, and nothing happened. It wouldn't work, and I kind of threw it in a drawer and said, you know, another failure. And then I got to talking to somebody a week or so ago, and I pulled it out, and I took it over to a friend's house, and he and I got to messing around with it, and we actually built the thing and flipped the switch, and nothing happened. And I went, oh, well, it doesn't work. And we sat talking for probably 5-6 minutes, and all of a sudden the thing kicked on and started running. And one of the batteries that we had, the battery that we were trying to charge, was actually a bad battery. It wouldn't hold the charge. He charged it the night before up to 12.8 volts, and it was down around 4. And we charged that battery up using this device up to about 12 volts, and when it got up about 13, the motor shut off. Everything stopped running, and it just sat there. And then we watched the voltage on the battery slowly go down. And once it got down around, 7 or 8 volts, the motor kicked on again. Everything started back up, and the whole circuit started charging again. And it charged the battery up. It did that, half a dozen times. And before I got excited and went and started writing stuff down and drawing out what we had done, and the next day we brought in a real live battery that had a good charge on it, used another motor that we had that was 12 volt to run that battery all the way down until the motor wouldn't turn anymore, and then hooked that battery in and charged it up in about, 30 to 40 minutes we charged that battery up. And then ran it down again and charged it and ran it down again and charged it. And we did that several times.
The motor stopped turning when it came up to full charge?
Well, we never really let it get up there. I was, I'm not real aware of what is a high charge on a battery. And I know that you can charge, charging state on a battery is supposed to be something like 18 volts. I guess that from what I've heard, but it scares me when it gets over about 13 volts because I don't know enough about batteries and that kind of stuff. So when we got up around 13, 14 volts, I shut it down manually. I never let it shut itself down just because I was worried that it was, putting an overcharge in that battery, and I didn't want to blow up the battery because I've heard that's a pretty interesting experience, and I really not one I wanted to go through. So we'd run it down, charge it back up, run it down, charge it back up. I've been doing that with all kinds of things. I've got a scroll saw I've been running off of it, off of a AC converter, to run it down. I'd let that run all night long, and it would run the battery down, and then we'd charge it up the next day and run it down again.
What was it you're running all night long?
Scroll saw.
Just
a little, a little scroll saw that I have.
How much power does that take?
It's 115 volt scroll saw. I don't know what the amperage is on it. It's sitting across the hall, and I could go look. But, I was just using the small things that I had. I tried hooking up a pretty heavy duty drill press to the AC converter, and I guess it was pulling too many amps, so it wouldn't even turn on. But it's run small devices off of that power supply with an AC converter hooked up to it, and it seems to do okay with small things, but, light bulbs and small saws and that kind of stuff. But the bigger things, it isn't running, so I don't think it has, enough power to move those the way it needs to.
So what did you do to convince yourself that there was more energy going out, not just a little bit, but a lot, than what you were putting in? And it wasn't just an artifact of some short-term type of thing. Because batteries are really tricky. I know I was playing around with Bedini schoolgirl motor for quite a while, and I saw some short-term effects that I swore were increasing in net energy, but as I ran them further down, a little further along and rotated the batteries through and whatnot, the net energy was always decreasing.
I think that just the number of times, I've run that battery down, and I know it's fully charged, or it seems to be fully charged, because the amount of time it's taken to run down is about 6 hours, and that's what it took. I put one of the batteries on a battery charger and charged it full, and then I ran the same motor to see how long it would run on a fully charged battery from the battery charger, and it was about six hours and 15 minutes, something like that. And so I'm getting a full charge on my batteries. I'm running them all the way down. I'm running the devices overnight, 6-7 hours, and it's running them all the way down till I come in the next morning and the saw blade is just barely going up and down, so I know the battery's pretty darn dead. And then charging it up again, and I've only got 3 batteries in my system and all hooked together, and I've charged those batteries up 30 times at least, and it just keeps charging them, and I run them down and it charges them, and I run them down again. This weekend, I have a friend who's an electrical engineer, and I keep telling him, it's putting out, 5 times as much as a battery should put out, and so that's not incontrovertible proof to him. And so my test this weekend is I'm going down to the store, and I'm going to buy 3 batteries that don't even have the acid in them yet, and I'm going to put the acid in 2 of them and charge them up, measuring how many kilowatt hours of electricity comes out of the wall socket into those 2 batteries. And then I'm going to put the 3rd battery into the system dead and charge it up using my system, and then hook my AC converter to it and my meter and see how many kilowatt hours I can put out of it. So that ought to give me pretty definitive proof that I'm putting out way, way more than what is going in. So that's my test for him, just because he asked me to do that. And I showed it to him, and he thought I had everything wired wrong. So.
Well, you were telling me earlier about a setup where you had, 7 batteries total. You had 6 on the output side, 1 on the input side. So you had 1 battery that was running this device that was charging 6 batteries.
I actually had 2 that were running the other 5. There were 2 that were in the charging state that were contributing to the charge on the other. And those 2 would go down a little bit, and the 5 batteries would charge up. But once those 5 batteries got charged, it would backfeed in, and the voltage on the other batteries would go up. And that's one of my problems, is voltage is a tricky thing when you're measuring batteries, because you don't always get accurate readings when you're measuring voltage. But you know, if you look at the picture I sent, I got 3 meters that I've been using. I've been one on each of my charge batteries, and then another meter that I put on all the batteries that I'm charging with the system, and trying to keep records of, you know, how low do my two batteries drop and on voltage, and then how long does it take for the batteries to charge, and all that kind of information, so I can keep fairly good track of it. And I've just been recording all my data and, you know, looking for different experiments to do to prove this thing. Because I know when I go to the patent office, they're gonna want some pretty definitive proof that this thing puts out, you know, what I say it does, or else I'm not gonna get a patent on it.
Well, that's when you're doing your utility patent. When you're just doing a patent application, you can put gibberish on a page, and it's just a placeholder.
That's correct. I'm filing the preliminary patent, and then I'm going straight to a patent application. I'm not even going to wait a day. I mean, I've done all the work for it already. It's just, you know, getting the attorney to put everything in writing and paying the fees and getting it submitted, because I want to go for a patent as fast as I can, a utility patent as fast as I can on this thing.
So is it, you know, we're jumping ahead a little bit because there's quite a few more questions I want to ask about, you know, proving that you do have something. I'm still not quite grasping. But when you talked about having other people come and sign NDAs and replicate and build the thing, test your prototypes, you were saying after the patent application has been approved, after the utility patent has been filed, or what's the...
I think as soon as I get as soon as my attorney tells me that he's mailed in my preliminary patent application, and I want to get this out to a few people with non-disclosure agreements and have them verify everything that I've got and take a look at it and get a few people to replicate it on their own and see what's going on. I don't think I can get hurt too badly at that point, because I know that the instant I file a patent on this thing, it's going to be public knowledge anyway. And it's dang simple that everybody and their brother is going to be building one in the backyard to power their car. And really the only advantage I'm going to have is if I went that direction instead of open sourcing it, is that maybe get some licensing out there to automobile manufacturers or some other people that could use it in their, you know, in vehicles that are being mass produced. But guys like me, guys who are, you know, backyard tinkerers, they're going to build one and they're going to put it in their own car and they're going to build an electric car and they're going to thumb their nose at, you know, the automobile industry and say, you know, my 57 Chevy is going to run on electricity now and not mess with buying the thing. They're going to build it themselves. It's simple enough. So, you know, once that becomes public, and so, you know, I don't think I can, you know, I can't, there's no way that I'm going to be able to suppress that, so I might as well, once I get myself protected a little bit, get it out open source so some people can start messing with it, looking at it, figuring out what they can do with it.
In our conversation, you were talking about your dad's solar batteries. He's got most photovoltaic systems have a bank of batteries that it dumps energy into, so you can then drop the energy as you need it through an inverter.
Right.
My dad's solar system has like 24 batteries that are deep cycle, 12 volt, and you got these big honking cables between them. How big is your dad's battery array?
It's 24 6 volts.
6 volt batteries.
6 volts. He's got two wired in series to make 12 volts out of each set. So he's got 24 6 volt batteries there.
Okay, and you took your little device and you hooked it up to his battery set and you charged them up to full?
Yep.
And how down were they?
They had been running most of the day. He'd been running his, it was in, I couldn't honestly say. When I talked to him about it, he said it would have taken him about 5 hours with his solar panels at that point to charge the batteries up to the point where we charged them. Uh-huh. And it took about, close to an hour, maybe 10 minutes or so, to charge up that solar array. I mean, those batteries. But, he was convinced. He wanted one. I told him, I'd sell him one for $6,000 to replace his solar panels. But he wasn't too interested in that.
So let's describe the setup when you were charging his 24 6-volt batteries. You had how many batteries on the front end running your gizmo?
Basically, I've got three. And what I do is I connect anything that I'm going to bring in from the outside to the terminals on the third battery. That's where my charge comes in, is on that third battery. And so I just connected from there, from the third battery in series, to what he had in his battery bank and charge it from there. And that's the way I've been doing everything. I just hook it onto my third battery, onto the terminals on it.
Okay, I'm not quite sure what you mean by your third battery. We've got an input side, and what did you have on the input side?
I'm not sure if I'm understanding your question.
You've got something that's running your motor.
Well, all of my batteries are wired in. The motor could draw power from all three batteries that I've got on my system. And so anything that I decide to run from the outside, I just connect it up to my third battery. Like my AC inverter, I'll hook onto that third battery. Anything. And that's just mainly because that's where my meter is attached to, for me to try and, take a reading on what's going on.
So when you're talking earlier about two that were running and five on the output, what was that?
Well, there's two, and then there's the third battery that I'm talking about, and then four more were attached to that. So there were five in series, or five in parallel, I'm sorry.
So in that scenario, you're describing two as if they're an input and one of it as if it's the output.
That could be, because that's the battery I'm always charging. Anytime I have a bad battery, I swap it into that third position.
Uh-huh.
So the other two are really the input. I guess that third one is the load, or the thing that I'm charging, or the thing that I'm running gets attached there or attached to that battery. But
so
I need it there to complete my circuit.
So when you had it there, you had your three batteries, the third one being the ones that you hooked up to your dad's 24 batteries. What happened to the charge level of those three batteries at the end of that charging cycle?
The first two go down. They always go down. Not very far. I think 12.8 volts or something is what a battery's supposed to register when it's fully charged. I'm not really sure about that. But they'll drop down as low as 11.7, 11.6. until everything is charged, and then they'll start climbing back up. So it takes some power out of them. It's kind of like, priming the pump. It takes some power out of them to get things moving the way they're supposed to. But once I get whatever I'm trying to charge, or whatever I'm, trying to fill up full, then they'll fill back up. I imagine if I had enough load on that, in that third position, that I drain those two batteries also. If I can't put out more electricity than what, is getting pulled, it'd drain them. But just charging 12-volt batteries or running any device that's 12-volt, it hasn't drained it yet. And there's a possibility that some high amperage 12-volt devices might drain those batteries. I don't know. I haven't had enough time to experiment with that. But I do know that, I can hook up, the most that I've ever hooked up at one time to charge was five batteries. So I charged five batteries all at once, and it took me about an hour and 15 minutes. So I'm looking at, if I can charge five batteries in an hour and 15 minutes and then switch over to another bank of batteries and charge that in an hour and 15 minutes, I got something that I could probably get close to powering an electric car with. If I can charge five or six batteries in that amount of time, because I think there's some motors for electric cars that run on 72 volts, which is about six batteries.
When you say you charge five batteries, how far down were they, and how much did you charge?
They were dead. They were dead to dead. I drained them. I ran my scroll saw on every one of them till they were completely dead. And the reason I did that is I was taking my stuff to California to a friend of mine who's an electrical engineer to take a look at it, and I wanted to have a bunch of dead batteries to show him. And then he didn't want to see that because he thought that, you know, that wasn't really proof that there could be some charge in those batteries, so I wasn't really proving that I was completely charging those batteries, and I needed to do it with completely empty batteries that had been just had the acid added to them and were, you know, ready to be charged. And so he wanted me to do that. So I told him, okay, I'll do that. But I had five completely dead batteries, as dead as I could get them. I ran a scroll saw on them until they wouldn't run anymore. And then I hooked up a 12-volt little compressor to pop that you use to pump up soccer balls. And I ran that on them until it didn't move. So I pulled every volt out of those batteries that I could pull out, and they were dead. And then I hooked them all up, and I charged them all at once, and took probably about an hour and 10 minutes, I think, to charge all those up.
Now let's talk. Let's clarify something here on the front. What I'm calling the front end. You're describing three batteries in your system. One of them is what you're hooking, the output is going to.
Right.
But you're considering it part of the system, could, you know, it's wired to the input batteries as well somehow. But for the sake of argument, the two input batteries, are you rotating them? Are you switching them out with?
No.
So you've got the same two batteries there, and you're running all these different tests. You're charging your dad's 24 batteries. You're charging these set of five batteries that are fully dead. Then you go to a second set of five batteries, and in all this time, you're not replenishing those front two batteries.
No, they stay the same. They're same two batteries.
And the third battery, you're not changing it out either.
No.
They're all just sitting there, and you're putting all this juice out.
Yeah, that's what makes it fun.
So basically, you have a closed loop system that is, you've got a little motor in there that's turning by the
right
power of these batteries, and that the power from that motor is being dumped back into the batteries.
I don't know if the motor's acting as a generator, because I know that you can run a motor in a way that will act as a generator. I'm not sure how it works. I honestly don't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I came up with the wiring diagram for this and built it, and when it came on, I was just as surprised as I could be that it started running.
You've had the same three batteries sitting on there the whole time. You haven't swapped them out. How many hours have you run this thing, and what, just kind of go through a shopping list of the stuff that you've ran with this thing.
Last Thursday was the day that I did this, and so Friday at...
When you say
Friday
last Thursday, today is Wednesday night.
I'm sorry, not last Thursday, but the Thursday before.
So, like
Thursday
a week
before that.
So almost
it's been like
2 weeks ago.
Almost 2 weeks.
Tomorrow, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago tomorrow.
Okay.
Thursday is the day that I did this, so Friday when I brought in a good battery that I had bought at the store, and I wanted to replace this goofy battery that we had used the day before that would charge and make this system shut off and wouldn't hold the charge and all of that. I spent my day from about 3 o'clock until 8 o'clock that night. I sat there and I drained that battery, running the motor that I have in my picture that I sent you. I ran the motor straight off that battery, so that I could see how long that motor would run on that one battery. And it ran, you know, it was eight or so o'clock at night before the battery ran down to where I felt like there's nothing left in this battery. And then
so
I hooked it
5 hours and running the motor, just that motor, in, you extracted the motor from your little system.
Yeah, and just
and
ran
and you hooked it up to a battery that was full.
Yes.
And you ran it down to empty in 5 hours.
Yes.
Okay.
And then
so one battery in your system would run your motor for 5 hours.
Correct.
Okay.
And then I hooked the system all back together with that motor in the third position, turned it on and charged that battery up in about, 20 minutes or so. And then I was excited because my readings on all my other batteries said that they were still full. And now I had a full battery. And those, that full battery should have brought the voltages on those other two down. So I figured, well, I got something. So I took it home because I was beat. It was like, by the time I got done doing all this and writing everything up and writing down and taking all my readings, it was like 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an hour drive home, so I didn't go home until 11. I got up the next morning, and I ran it down again and charged it up using that same motor and ran it down again and charged it up using that same motor. So charging time alone, I ran that motor for 3 more hours off those three batteries. And when I got done, I still had 3 full batteries, and the motor had been running the whole time.
Uh-huh. Okay, and then what else did you charge with that system?
Since then?
Yeah.
Let me look. I've been keeping notes on everything I've done, so I can look at my book and I can tell you exactly what I charged. It's been a number of things. Well, really, just the batteries. I mean, I've run the batteries down, and then I've used the batteries to run like my jigsaw, my scroll saw, and I hooked the AC converter into it, and I ran a 100 watt light bulb on it for a while. I've just been running all kinds of stuff on it, just to drain the battery and see if I could run it, and then recharge the batteries and run some more stuff, and recharge the batteries and run some more stuff, and have
and
pretty much kept that up for the last 2 weeks.
Those same 3 batteries are sitting in there, and you're not taking them out or replacing them.
No.
And
nope.
Let's describe that thing you were telling me about where you had a whole bunch of stuff on there. That you had like a shop vac plugged into a power strip that was plugged into... I mean, what you were just describing was basically you charge up a battery, you take it off the system, and you run something, then you run the battery down, then you go and you replenish the battery, and then you disconnect the battery, and you run something else, run the battery down, then you charge the battery back up. But in the scenario you were describing, it sounded like you had something hooked up to the battery while it was still hooked up to your system.
Yeah, I did. I hooked up an AC converter to the third battery while I was in the charge cycle. Just to see how much, I wanted to see how much it could put out. I was curious how many I did. I actually put a, an amp meter in line, a digital amp meter in line in my system to try and read how many amps the motor was pulling. And when I put the amp meter in line, the system shut down. It wouldn't run with an amp meter in line. Breaking the wire and putting an amp meter into the system and having it run through the amp meter, it wouldn't run. And so I had to take that back out, and I was kind of interested in just exactly how many amps things were pulling and how many amps I could run. And so I hooked up that AC inverter to try, and I was going to plug in computer monitors and, all kinds of junk I got laying around and just see how many different devices I could run off of a power strip. So I plugged a power strip into the AC inverter,
and this was with. Let's make sure we've got the mental image correct here. You've got your 3 batteries running this little. You've got 2 of them running this motor, and you've got the third battery to which you have 2 leads going to your AC converter.
AC converter, yeah.
And then you've got this power strip hooked into the AC converter, and you're starting to plug stuff into this little power strip.
Correct.
Okay.
And first thing I plugged in was the 115-volt light bulb, 100-watt bulb. And the instant I plugged that 100-watt bulb in, that motor took off and started roaring and scared us. And the voltage went up on the meters, and then we plugged in the that shop vac, and I think it pulled too many amps because everything took off like a rocket for a couple seconds, and then the AC converter popped off. it was too much for it. It was drawing too many
amps or
something.
So the AC converter circuit breaker?
It's a 200-watt AC converter, and I don't, it just wouldn't run the load that I guess that I was putting on it by hooking all this stuff up. But the thing that freaked us out.
Was it a circuit breaker that went off on it, or when you say it popped, what?
Well, it just has it has some lights on the top of it, red, green, and yellow, and it started blinking, beeping, and all of a sudden nothing was working again. You know, nothing would work. We disconnected the shot back and went back to just the light bulb, and it worked again. So we figured like it was pulling too much, trying to pull more than the system would provide or whatever out of it, and it wouldn't work. But I mean, the meters took off, they shot up, you know, the voltage on the batteries. All of a sudden the system was putting out 18 volts into the batteries, and we kind of got scared that we were overcharging the batteries, and we're running out of the room because we didn't know if they were going to blow up and stuff. And it was pretty entertaining to watch, because I'd never seen a system where the more load you put like that. If you look at my picture, there's a kind of an arm on the motor that the pulleys, there's a pulley on an arm, and then
let me pause here really quick and just mention to people that they can go to pezwiki.com, and we have a page there with the title David Bowling, like as in bowling for apple or bowling alley, right?
Yes.
And you'll pull up this page, and I posted two pictures that you sent me this evening, showing the pulley, showing a little motor, showing three batteries. Let's take a look at that, and maybe you can kind of orient us as to, is this the system that you're talking about? This that we've been talking about this whole time. You got
yeah.
three batteries sitting there.
Yep.
You've got a little motor. You've got a little gearbox. You've got a belt that goes back to a little. What's on the right-hand side there?
It goes around a little pulley that's on an arm, and you can't see it, but on the end of that arm is a turnbuckle that's attached to the wooden base, so that I can tighten down on that turnbuckle and tighten the belt and really draw down on that motor and make it work really hard to turn.
So that's basically just a torque. It's like a dyno,
right.
A poor man's dyno.
Yeah.
So there's nothing, is there anything attached to the right side there, a generator, any kind of, it's just friction, is that all?
Yeah, just friction. Just making that motor work harder to turn that belt.
Okay.
I wanted to see, you know, because I figured that gives me some idea of putting a motor under stress or under load, what it would do, you know, what would it do to my system. I wanted to kind of see what would happen. And if you tighten up that turnbuckle and tighten that belt and make that motor work harder, all of a sudden it puts out more voltage. The voltage on the meters go up, showing that more is going into the batteries.
So those 3 meters on the left-hand side are going one to each battery.
One to each of my batteries, yeah.
Uh-huh.
They aren't in the picture. They're just kind of hanging there, but that was their purpose, yeah.
But when you load that motor, all three battery voltages are going up?
Yes, absolutely.
Huh.
And when you turn when we turned on that light bulb, all of a sudden everything went up. It's like the more load you put on this thing, the more electricity it generates.
Where is the electricity going, coming from that's powering that motor?
The motor for the whole thing. It's coming from those three batteries. It's wired into the circuit. It's running off those three batteries.
And where's the energy that's going into the batteries to recharge them?
Where is it?
Yeah,
it's one big loop. It's a big loop circuit. So the
and
motors
where
are running.
The electrical engineer is going to go say, "Is going to if he was looking at your schematic, he'd say that will never work, right?"
That's right. That's exactly what they say. I've had two electricians look at it and say that motor can't run.
You say your dad's an electrical engineer?
No, my dad's an electrician. Well, actually, he was in the electricians union and the plumbers union. He owned a business, and he was in both unions. And so,
did you show him your circuit?
I have showed him the whole thing, and the question he keeps asking me every time he looks at it is, where does the electricity come from? He has no clue, and neither do I, so that's the fun part about it.
Okay. Now, when you, which of these three batteries are you using in this picture for what you're talking about, you know, like you're hooking your AC power strip to it? Which of the three batteries is your output hookup?
The one closest to the front, the farthest away from the meters, is the
one that I've got.
Furthest right-hand side of the picture.
I cropped your pictures so I could get a little more resolution on a small size and compress them so that they load faster on the Internet. One of the pictures still has a date on it, 4/24/2008. The other one doesn't. I'm referring to the 4/24/2008 picture on the far right-hand side. It's the one that you hook things up to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, when I first looked at this, I wasn't sure what was part of your system and what was just junk sitting around you.
What's junk on my workbench? Yeah, I took a lot of pictures that day, and I took a lot of video, too. I've got video of the motor running, and I got video of the first one we built, which was, it was way bigger. It was kind of spread out on a 4x4 sheet of plywood, and we had all kinds of things. We had all kinds of breakers on there and all kinds of stuff that I've eliminated out of this one just because we didn't need them, but we didn't know that. The first day we got it running, then we took it inside and we rewired the whole thing and put all kinds of cutoff switches and breakers and fuses and everything else in it because we didn't want to blow anything up because it was putting out enough electricity that we were really concerned we were going to overcharge the batteries. And so we wired some of that stuff in it, and when I built the second one, I took all that stuff out. I just went back to the basic design because I figured I'm smart enough to flip the thing off. And my buddy, the guy that helped me with this, and he built one out of some little AA or AAA batteries today. What did he have? Did he have? I think he had AA. AA batteries. And a small motor that he got at Radio Shack and basically wired it up with the way we've been wiring this thing, and was they're rechargeable batteries, and he was charging them just to see how small he could get it. And I think that motor was like a 1.4 amp motor, some really small little thing he got at Radio Shack.
Can I ask you just a few shopping list questions? I don't want to. I understand you've got some stuff that you want to protect intellectual property behind what's going on behind this thing, in terms of how things are wired up and what components are there. But can I just ask a few questions? And feel free to say, I'd rather not say so, but do you have resistors in this system?
No. I don't have anything in this system, but those batteries, that motor, my wiring schematic that I drew up, and what else is in there? Just my switches. There's no solid-state parts in this thing. If you had my wiring diagram for this and the motor and some switches and a few other little goodies, the biggest expense in that picture is those batteries, because you can buy a cheapo motor that'll work.
Yeah, I'm not talking about expense. I'm just talking about, do you have diodes in there?
No. Nope.
What about transistors?
Nope.
And what about, what else might be in a system like this? Rectifier?
No.
You know, it would be so hilarious that something this simple would be
simple.
What saves this planet.
This simple. I'm convinced I want to do my test this weekend, and I think I'll have, at that point, I will have incontrovertible proof that this thing is just amazing. But, I've charged so many things up and discharged so many batteries and recharged them and run them down and recharged them and run them down that I don't have any doubts. But every time somebody ask me, well, what about this? Then it freaks me out a little bit, and I go back and run some more tests because, you know, I didn't expect this to work. I really didn't. And, you know, you always have those kind of doubts, and so it's pretty easy for me to start doubting it, even though I've seen it work so many times. But you still have doubts that is this really real? Can this really be doing what it appears to be doing? And, you know, people keep putting that doubt in my mind by, you know, especially people who are way smarter than me about electricity and electrical devices, because I just mess around with them. And so they'll, you know, tell me, you know, you got batteries that are storing up power that you don't know about and this and that and the other thing. And so I worry. But, you know, my answer to that solution is to keep running the thing and running the thing and running the thing and charging batteries and charging batteries until, you know, nobody can convince me that it doesn't work. And that's pretty much what I'm doing.
Let's go back to our shopping list. We started into that and then we kind of went off on a tangent. But in this picture that we see, those three batteries, those 12-volt batteries, they're not the same size as a car battery. They're a little bit smaller.
Those are 18 amp hour. I think they're using golf carts.
Okay.
And we use them. My friend that I got all this stuff from, he uses them to power robots. And so that's what he had. And so when I went out and bought my own, I didn't know if having the same kind of battery and the same kind of motor and the same kind of everything was important. And so because I wanted to be able to reproduce the thing, I went and bought exactly what we had used on the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I've kind of figured out that that's probably not that critical. And I can
took three triple or double A batteries in a small Radio Shack motor and replicated the effect.
Yeah, yeah.
That would rule out a lot of things.
Yes, yes. Pretty much did. And so that...
Uh-huh.
And I had some real questions, and I was at the patent attorney this week, and you know, he was asking me, does it have to be the same motor? And I couldn't tell. I honestly told him I didn't know. The motor that we used the first day was not the same motor as this in this picture. We actually went to a bigger motor the second day, and it worked just because we wanted a stronger, heavier duty motor to see if it would put out more electricity or less electricity or more amps or whatever.
Oh, it's just a DC motor.
Yeah, just a 12-volt DC motor. It's actually hooked into a gearbox in this picture because that gearbox was used to run the robot, and it just happened to have the gearbox attached to it, and it wasn't worth my time to take it off. Plus, it already had that pulley on it, so I could put a belt on it and mess around with that part of it. But it'll, you know, I could take the belt off and it would do the same thing it's doing. It just wouldn't do it quite as fast because there wouldn't be any load on the motor. And the more load I put on the motor, the faster it charges things. The motor definitely has something to do with the charging circuit.
So, I mean, you could put a generator on where you have your just your dummy load, and you could be dumping some energy through a generator into something, some other system.
Yes. Yeah. Anything that's 12 volts, I can run continually. If it's 12 volts and isn't pulling too many amps, I think I could probably run it forever.
So when you say that the more load you put on that motor, the more those batteries charged up, and you're watching the level of those batteries, you don't want to go too high. So you're pulling off some load by hooking up to the positive and negative lead of that third battery, and that's how you're basically governing the system so that batteries don't go too high. Did you purposely make that belt tighter and looser when you had bigger and smaller loads?
Yes. Yeah.
And you found the effect that the bigger the load, the tighter you wanted that belt?
Well, the tighter I made the belt, the more power, the more electricity that this whole system put out. But also, you know, when I hooked up that light bulb to the AC inverter that was connected to the third battery, as soon as I flipped that light bulb on, everything speeded up. The motor speeded up. The voltage went up on the, you know. So, you know, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, I think, you know, the load that I'm putting on the third battery affects how much electricity is put out. How much load I put on the motor affects how much electricity it puts out. There's lots of things I don't know about, you know, what it's capable of or how it works. But, you know, it's putting out 12 volts, continues to put out 12 volts. And as long as it puts out 12 volts, I'll figure out a way to use it.
Now, when let's just get a ballpark guess. You know, you've replicated this one system right here. You've built, there are three total like this one, right?
Three, yeah.
And then there's also the AA battery one that your friend built that helped you build this one.
Yep.
How many, let's take the one that's run the longest. How many hours do you think it has run total?
Oh, in 2 weeks?
In the last 2 weeks.
I was running, well, it ran, let's see. Maybe 60 hours.
Okay. And when you took one of those batteries, isolated from this system, and you just ran that motor on that one battery, it went down in 5 hours.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Yeah, you're running 60 hours on three batteries, and it's still fully charged.
Yes. And I'm charging batteries right and left.
Uh-huh.
And running light bulbs and everything else. Yeah, it's, you know, I'm pretty convinced it's putting out what I think it's doing. I mean, but still, when people ask you, you know, and they hit you with things, you still wonder, wow, is it really doing that? Is it really, you know, is there something am I not seeing something? But I can't envision what it is I'm not seeing about what this is doing. So,
well, I know that there's going to be a lot of guys who are tinkerers like you who are going to be salivating to start playing with this.
I know, and I felt really bad about that. You know, as soon as my attorney says go for it, I really want some people to start messing with this because I've already found a golf cart. I want to build a. I'm buying a golf cart so I can build myself an electric golf cart and use this principle to keep it running and see. You know, they'll go about 10 miles on a charge. The old ones, like the one I'm getting. And I wanted to see just how far I can run a golf cart. You know, I want to enter this in some competitions and see, you know, what I can do with it and how far it'll go. I have yet, when I talked to my buddy Alan today, the guy that helped me build this and is building one on his own, he actually has the first one that we built. And he is going to hook it up today to a 50-watt, 12-volt light bulb and just turn it on and let it run. And we're going to see how long it's going to run that 50-watt, 12-volt light bulb because we can do our experiments with the other models that we built. And we're just going to let that one go and see how long it'll run. And, you know, check back in a year, see if it's still going because I think it will be. I think it'll just keep putting it out.
Have you tried different combinations? You've got three batteries. Have you tried four? Have you tried two? Have you tried six?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
This is working enough that I felt like, man, this thing works. I'm gonna go get a patent on it, and then I'm gonna start monkeying around with other battery combinations and see if I can get higher voltage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, higher voltages would be nice. And what about, you know, using capacitors instead of batteries to get higher voltages? But then, you know, I think the motor is an integral part of this system and part of what makes it work. And I'm not sure if I could get a motor that would run on those high voltages that a capacitor would put out. So I think there's
a lot.
When
you're talking about the patent, I want to recommend that you try and talk to Tom Vallone. I imagine you've heard that name below or before. He's works in the patent office, and he's helped a few technologies write their patents. And being somebody who works in the patent office, he knows what they're looking for. And So I think he'd be a good one, and he's definitely a friend of exotic stuff. He's written several books on zero-point energy and yada, yada, yada. Another resource, obviously you've heard of Bearden and Dini, and Peter Lindemann is going to be a great resource for you in helping to understand what's going on here, and also to explain to you what goes on in batteries. Because I think you may have some misconceptions. Some batteries are dangerous when you start charging them too high. Other ones, as long as you have a loop system like what you have, there may not be as much of a concern there. And so I think it'd be good to have a little brainstorming session with him to see you're actually doing much more harm to your battery by discharging them like you are. You should really be going only down to about 70% capacity than just lighting them, you know, beating the heck out of them by going so far down. That's going to be doing much more damage than overcharging them. So it'd be good for you to get on the phone with him. I can give you his phone number, and I'm sure he'd be glad to talk to you, more than glad to talk to you about this stuff, because this is right down his alley. And... you know, he's the one that got, he and Bedini were the ones that got me the plans to do this Bedini Schoolgirl that some 100 people have replicated that little design. You were playing with that one too.
Yes, I was, absolutely. I love that, you know, and I love the idea of the permanent magnet motor. I've been playing around with some of that kind of stuff too, just to see what I could do with it, but I hit on this and this is working and I'm going to keep pushing it.
Yeah.
Just to see what, you know, where I can get out of it, what it'll do.
And when you put that, you tried putting an amp meter between all of the different wired systems, and whenever you did that, it wouldn't work?
Put it in with a digit. I actually had an old amp meter out of I don't know what it was out of, but it was one of the old analog meters.
Uh-huh.
And I put that in line, and it worked, but it had one of those needles on it, and the needle moved such a small distance that really couldn't see what it was showing. And so I took that out and put a digital meter in its place, and when I put that meter in, the whole system shut down, didn't work. Motor wouldn't come on, nothing would work. So we took it back out, and everything started back up again.
And you only tried it in one position? You didn't try
it? Yeah, I only tried it in one position. I put it in the same place where we had the analog meter, and I expected it to work there, and it didn't. So I just basically took it out.
Was that between the third battery and whatever it was
and the motor? It was between the third battery and the motor.
So the third battery goes to the motor as well as to whatever you're charging?
Yes.
Hmm. Fascinating, fascinating stuff. Yeah, there's going to be people just itching to play around with this stuff.
Well, you know, and I'm torn. I really want to see it out there. I really want to see people playing with it. I really want to see what can happen. And right now, I got every wire on every piece of this running into a black box, and all my circuits are inside the black box. So I can take it anywhere, show it to anybody, and they can't tell what's wired to what and how it's wired and anything else. But they certainly can sit there with meters and check how much voltage is coming out and that kind of stuff. And unless I've got a nuclear power cell in my black box or, you know, an alien power system in there, it's pretty obvious that it's coming from the batteries and the motor. You just can't tell how they're wired or put together or anything else.
How big is your black box?
So it's about 6 by 6 inches, just enough for me to get everything in there and wire it up. And I got 4 or 5 switches on the front of it. I can't even remember how many. Because I set this up with 2 circuits. I set it up with a circuit to charge, and I set it up with a discharge circuit so that the battery in the third position could be run directly off the motor and discharged. So I could run it down, run in the motor, and then flip it over into the charge circuit and charge it back up, and then run it down and then charge it back up. So I could keep, you know, flipping back and forth and keep powering that battery up and then keep running it down off the motor so that I could see how many times I could do that. Because, I mean, if I can do that many, 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 many times, then I know that I got a system that I could power a car off of. And that was my goal when I started this. I was trying to figure out a way to build an electric car and a power source that would, you know, charge banks of batteries for an electric car and keep it running. And I believe right now I could do that today. I believe I could put two banks of batteries in an electric car and keep one charged while the car ran off the other one and not, you know, maybe figure a rotation where you had eight batteries, it was running on six, and you rotated two fresh ones in every hour and keep that car running off an electric system. So
when you say rotate in, you're talking with a switch.
Right, or with
and
relays or something.
Continuous driving without ever having to stop to plug into anything external.
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
You're talking what Tilly claimed to have had, but for 4 or 5 years ago, that seems to have been a little bit flaky on it. But anyway, that's another story.
Well, and yeah, I have. I've seen some of that stuff, and I look at this motor right here that I'm doing nothing but using to run a pulley and cranking down on it to put a charge on it, and you could run an alternator with that in a regular car and keep the regular 12-volt system powered while you ran the rest of the car off the charging circuit. So I think I've got what I need right here to build an electric car. I think I do. It's just, you know, getting the time, the money, and the wherewithal to go and rip the motor out of a car and do that. I'd love to find somebody who's got an electric car and wants to experiment a little bit by putting something like this in it and see if it would work.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know somebody who does, who'd be willing to help you with that. I could toss you a Prius.
That'd be awesome. I'd love to do that. I would love to do that.
Also, you know, when you're ready to, when you've got your patent protection there, you're ready to put these plans out for people to start playing with this stuff. I would just like to, you're maybe already sold on the idea of our PES Wiki websites. The Wiki enables an unlimited number of users to basically add information to the website in an organized way, unlike a discussion board where everything comes in chronologically and you've got to read all 10,000 messages to get all the information you need.
Right.
Here you can organize it. You've got an introduction page. You've got a page of replications. You've got a page that describes the different batteries that have been tried, different motors that have been tried, different battery motor combinations, different wiring gauges, different numbers of batteries, and people can start just playing with all kinds of combinations to see what works, come up with an optimal system, you know, do ranges, see what, when you've got 12-volt car batteries, what's the maximum power output, and what's the optimal output, and you can just have a page for each one of these with all the parameters, and as a page gets too big, you subdivide it into subpages, and you can keep it all really nice and organized, and all the people who want to contribute just get, you know, log in and edit as they want.
Well, that's one of the things I feel the worst about is I know that there are so many people out there that know so much more about this stuff than I do, and if they got their hands on this, they'd go, you know, what would come out of it would be just incredible, and here I am kind of putzing around with it, not allowing that to happen because I'm trying to protect my rights on the thing and make sure I get something out of it, and yet I know the benefits that this could have to everybody. And so, boy, it's something I'm really mulling over here about how to do this and what to do with it.
It's not like you've got to get 5% out of everything that ever happens on this thing. Even
no,
if you get 0.06%,
yeah,
you're going to be a rich person.
I know.
This thing really is what you seem to be describing it as. And so,
yeah.
You know, you had Ozzy Freeborn's water to gas thing. He's earned $5.4 million off that thing just by, you know, selling the plans for $100 a pop.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you put something like this up on the internet and sell it for, you know, a similar price through ClickBank, you quit your day job real quick. I just got my first check from, I've been selling those Pulse plugs that replaces the spark plug. Uh-huh. And I've been promoting those to the people that buy scan gauges, and I've got a little advertisement on my site. I pulled out almost $1,000 on that in just a couple of months. And that's just something I'm spending, 5 minutes a day doing, telling people about it. And I put it in an email when people order a scan gauge, and they'll knock my socks off when I got that check today. So I don't think you need to worry about making money off of this. There's a zillion ways to do it, and you don't have to control every aspect of it. Let the world play with it, and you'll get plenty of action.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the way I'm leaning right now. I want to, I would dearly love. I've got this unit that I sent you the picture of. It's got the black box on there. I can pretty much take that. If you notice, there's hinges on it. So the back panel folds down flat. It fits in my roller suitcase. I can throw it. The airport loves me when I try to bring those batteries through in my carry-on, but they freak out a little bit. And they just love all the wires and things that are attached to the black box. But I've got it through the airport a couple of times now, and I'm developing a relationship with them on doing this. So I don't have a problem flying somewhere and letting people take a look at this and run all the tests they want on it. Especially once I get my attorney says that my preliminary patent application is in, I really want some people to take a look at it and start running some tests on it. And they can do that without seeing what's in the black box, and then maybe they can see what's in the black box, and we'll go from there. But I really want some people to be able to duplicate this and run some tests on it and see and duplicate the results and let people know it's out there and that it's available.
Well, everything is off the shelf. I mean, we're talking Walmart shelf.
Yeah, yeah. Radio Shack.
Maybe that motor.
Well, I bought my black box at Radio Shack, but, the motor, you might have a little, I don't know that any motor would work, but I can sure get the specs on that motor. They're right on it, and I can tell you exactly, it's got that gearbox attached to it, but you don't have to have that gearbox, but I can sure certainly get the specs on it.
That system we're looking at, you say that's $200?
Probably most of that was for the batteries, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think they're about 50, 60 bucks a piece, so there's like $120 in batteries, and then the motor is probably 20, so that's 140, and then this and that. Well, the meters, I'm even counting in my meters that I bought, because those were, 20, 30 bucks a piece.
There's a zillion ways that you can prove this thing out. Put a little black box on it, hook a light bulb up to it, four or five, kind of max it out on the output. You don't want to redline it, but, get it. Halfway between green and yellow and let it run and throw a meter on it and digitize that meter so that, it's a digital data readout showing that it's continuous output. So while you're sleeping, you wake up and you see that it was running while you were asleep. That's going to make most electrical engineers as happy as could be if you do that for a week.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna do some of those things. In the next few days, especially this weekend, I've got a meter coming in the mail, that kilowatt meter, and I'm gonna hook it in and I'm gonna do the test my buddy asked me to do. And then after that, I'm probably just gonna hook this one up to 2 or 3 50-watt, light bulbs and just let it go. And let it run until, let it run for a week or so and see, how many 50-watt light bulbs I can keep lit for a week.
Another thing you can do in terms of financial end of things, I understand you're not rolling in the money. You just put a little donate button up. I'd be glad to, do you have a PayPal account?
No, I don't.
You can set one of those up in about 3 minutes, and you just have people send money to your email address, and then you can retrieve that into your bank account. And people can, help out that way. That's another revenue center that is available, via open sourcing. There are donations that come in. But like I was saying earlier, in an open source, it doesn't mean you have to be a pauper just because you're giving the technology away. You can, be like Ozzie Freeman and these plans are available for free all over the internet, but he's selling for $100 a pop and making $5.5 million.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and once that preliminary patent application goes in and I start working on my patent, I want a bunch of people to take a look at this, and that should be within, you know, just a few days. My attorney's asked to have me, you know, fax him in my book that I started keeping on this. It's got all the different tests that I've done and all that information, because he wants to have that, as you know, before he files, and I don't think he needs it, but he wants it, so I'm going to send it to him, and then we'll see. And it shouldn't take me more than a few days to do that, and then, you know, I'm going to be looking for some people to take a peek at this and tell me, you know, substantiate some of the things I'm saying, because right now it's me blabbering my mouth, and I want some people who have been around the business for a while and have looked at some of these things and done some of these things to take a look at it and, you know, start backing me up, so that when I go to talk to people about this and start looking at what financial windfall it could be, I've got some people who can say, yeah, that thing really does work. Because right now there's not a whole lot of people out there except my friend and I that have seen it or have the data that it works. So, mm-hmm. You know, the rest of it's just pie in the sky.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be really easy to make a few more of those black boxes to let people play around with.
Oh, yeah.
So, I you know, there's no reason you can't go racing forward on this thing. I would get at least one person to validate it before you quit your day job, but once you get one good electrical engineer to give you a thumbs up, man, I would jump ships on your employment from here on
out.
I'm
kind of planning on that. You know, I was really at the point this week where I was almost ready to put my house up for sale, and I said, you know what, I'm going to run the tests this weekend, and if they all pan out, then I don't have a problem putting my house up for sale and taking my equity and using it to go into some kind of a business with this thing because of what I've seen it do. So I'm really at that point that I know it works, I'm convinced it works, but I want to run that one last test to remove that last shred of doubt and convince my buddy, who's an electrical engineer, that, yeah, it does work. And if I can convince him, I think I can convince anybody, because he's like the biggest skeptic the world's ever seen.
Uh-huh.
So that's my goal for the weekend, I'm actually flying out to California next Friday to go see him and taking my test results and taking my model and saying, okay, here are the test results, but I know you're not going to believe it until you do it yourself, so here it is, hook it up, and let him run with it and see. So I'll keep you apprised of all of that and what goes on.
This is your the first that this has been made public is today with this putting up on our website in this interview?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I just noticed that already 367 people popped it just before the show when we started, and there's 419 now who have taken a look at this. I think it's going to go pretty hot.
Well, that's good. I'd like to get some people interested, because, you know, the more people that build one of these things when I turn this loose, I think the better it's going to be for our economy and everything else. And I think putting something like this on the market all at once could get really scary for what it would do to oil prices and everything else, because who needs a gas car when you can build an electric?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about stuff that is available in any town in the world, except maybe in the third world. You know, 12-volt batteries, I imagine you're using more expensive batteries, but people are just using car batteries that are kicking around in the backyard. They can use John Bedini's technology to replenish those and then plug them into your system and run their cars and their run their house on it and get disconnected from the grid and put little three, you know, little, figure out what kind of size of batteries to run your laptop, never have to recharge your laptop.
That's what my buddy's trying to figure out is taking those little batteries, like watch batteries, the little round ones, flat ones,
uh-huh.
Putting a bunch of those together till he gets 12 volts out of it and put it into a box with a bunch of different plug-ins on it so that it's a universal charger that runs anything in forever with a tiny little motor in the box, and you flip it on, and it just runs. You run your laptop, run your iPod, run whatever you want to plug into it, basically forever, by selecting the voltage. And
You're going to want to do some health studies on this. You know, where's this energy coming from? Is it creating some kind of a local vortex in the unseen medium around us? And you get too many of these in a room, and you start feeling sick.
Yeah, I know. Yep.
So that would be another page that we put up on a you know, kind of a quasi open source, is health ramifications. In addition to the regular cautions about you're dealing with electricity, don't be stupid. You know, that people could note, well, you know, I was working with this all day, and man, I just getting this really bad headache, and several people start noting that, and then, you know, started even getting some cautious, and well, I found if I put this little piece of tin foil around my head, I'm just fine.
That would not be good. I wouldn't want to see that happening, but
yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to throw this out. Just before this conversation, I got a call from Steve Ellswick, and he said this sounds just like the Kipper device that he's had available on his website over at teslatech.info. It may be, from what I understand, it's quite different, but in terms of the load thing, or the more load you put on it, the better it does kind of thing, that apparently he said that had the same characteristic. But there's another device, the Joseph Newman device, that several people have replicated. You know, he's down there in Texas, and I had an interview about 6 months ago with a guy who was replicating that Joseph Newman technology. He started noticing that he was getting some cloud clearage, clearing over his shop. He had about a 12-mile drive to his shop, between his home and his shop, and every day when he went to the shop, the thing was on, and he noticed there were no clouds over his shop. He started changing the orientation of the thing. He started noticing this thing was affecting the weather. He could make it rain. He could make it not rain. He could make hurricanes go away. He could make tornadoes not form. He started getting a network of these things around the country, and they were actually they are. These guys are messing with the weather with a device that costs less than $200 to build. And
It's kind of amazing the things that, you know, people can put together in their backyard and come up with that actually work. And, you know, some of this technology, I think, has been out there for a while, and it's not getting shared. I mean, I know how concerned I've been about, you know, letting go of this, and I imagine there's some other folks that have been in the same boat. It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show and being willing to talk about this. I think you've disclosed a lot, and it sounds like the thing's so simple. If you were to say two more words about it, it might let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. So, pretty exciting stuff. We'll be in touch, and there's a number of people that we can help, you know, lead you to that can help you with this or that, including building business plans and putting, you know, we talked about patents, but also things like, you know, your marketing when you're ready to get to that point, your engineering for production. Every step of the way, there are people that we've plugged into at different stages along the way as we've been through this whole battle with different technologies. There's a lot of help out there, a lot of friends to exotic stuff who really don't care how it works, just that it works. You know, let the physicists play with it for the next 100 years to figure out how it works. Let's get something that does work and start putting it to work. So there's plenty of help out there, and I don't think you need to worry about making a living if this thing's is what you're describing it to be.
No, I don't think so either. I'm just, you know, I got a couple more tests I really want to run and make sure I'm not blowing smoke. And I'm absolutely convinced that I'm not, but then, doggone, somebody will say something and it'll worry me. So, you know, my buddy who's an electrical engineer said, do this. Once you've done that, there'll be no doubt. And so I'm going to run his test, and then I'm going to take him the results this coming, not this weekend, but next weekend, and then I'm going to let him try and duplicate it. And once he does that over the weekend, probably a week from Monday, I'll give you a yell and let you know what we found out. And I'll probably give you my results sooner, but I'll let you know what he does when he gets done, because I think his results are going to mirror my results, so there's not going to be any question once I get done. And then we'll see where we go from there. See what it's time to do and how we start making some difference in the way things are around here, with maybe getting some of this technology out there for people to be able to use.
Well, David, we've been an hour and 20 minutes. It was supposed to be an hour interview. Appreciate BBS Radio for letting us plug in at the last minute here. BBS.com and Channel 2 we are tonight. Usually we're on Channel 1 on Mondays, noon to 1 Pacific. We've done a special little last-minute job here, and it's been very much worth it. And again, people can go to, you don't have a website yet, but for now they can go to peswiki.com. That's P-E-S for Pure Energy Systems, wiki, W-I-K-I.com, and just search for David Bowling, like bowling for energy. And they'll pull up this page and see what the latest information is. We'll put a link up once you get your website going, your official company website, and people can then be going to your website to get all the latest, greatest information, but we can also supplement it here as well.
Sounds good.
All right. You take care.
All right. Thanks very much.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.